What's up, guys? I'm Zach, your host of the Auxoro Podcast, where we bring you face-to-face with music artists, athletes, entrepreneurs, doctors, designers, and other interesting humans in a show that dives deep into the story beyond the surface. You can now support Auxoro with a donation on Patreon, PayPal, or Venmo. We're a completely independent platform with no outside sponsors or investors, and we're grateful for any amount, no matter how small, to help push the conversation forward. If you'd like to support, you can visit patreon.com/Auxoro, link in the podcast description as well. On Patreon, you get early access to episodes, discounts on merchandise, and other Patreon-exclusive content. Thank you for your support. If you love keeping up with Auxoro, we have a newsletter sent out twice a month with all of our latest content, as well as other articles, podcasts, books, and advice that we find helpful. I'm constantly scrounging the internet for things to improve my life, and I would love nothing more than to be able to share the things that have helped me with you. Go to auxoro.com and join over 1,000 others by subscribing to the newsletter. The link is also in the podcast description. This episode is brought to you by The Aux. The Aux is a short-form podcast produced by Auxoro, bringing you a daily dose of uncensored wisdom to jumpstart your life. 10 minutes or less, no bullshit, no topic off limits. We explore topics like fashion, porn, relationships, meditation, and more. You can subscribe to this podcast by searching The Aux, A-U-X, wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode is a re-release of the first ever conversation that I recorded with Auxoro with Mod Sun. Mod Sun is a rapper. He designs clothes. He absolutely radiates energy, and I had an absolute blast with this conversation. If you haven't been following Auxoro from day one, then you probably haven't heard this conversation, which is why I wanted to put it back out there in the world. So without further ado, please enjoy this wide-ranging conversation with Mod Sun.
We're in, baby. It's go time, motherfucker. Yeah.
So first of all, Mod, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. I woke up in Boston, got in the motherfucking van, fell asleep again, woke up in New York City, went and did some shopping. I'm smoking some weed right now. The show's gonna be awesome tonight.
Oh yeah.
I'm on a high from this tour. It's all going awesome, man. Everything is great. And I woke up this morning. It's like the best thing.
So right here at the top of my note page, I have a little message to remind me. It says, be happy, baby.
Yeah, there you go. My guy smiling over there.
You woke up, and that's a reason to celebrate.
That's exactly
and
right.
We both fucking woke up today. Different cities,
yep.
But we woke up,
yep.
And we're here, so yep. Let's fucking celebrate a
That's
little bit.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. I promise we're going to celebrate. You're in the air, baby. You're finna feel me, ay.
So I listened to your audiobook, Did I Ever Wake Up, this past week. And the first thing you go into, one of the first things is the power of saying hello.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And that shit spoke out. Stood out to me because I feel like no one says hello anymore. Like you can walk by people, you can walk into a room, and no one makes it a point to go say hello to people.
Yeah.
And I feel like saying hello, you can fuck up someone's day. You can completely change their day by just looking at someone's face and saying hello.
Absolutely.
How are you? What are Absolutely. You doing? So like how do you like come to spread that message? Like what makes you want to make it a point to walk up to people and make sure they know you're in the room, like they know you're in the fucking spot?
Like, so like this how that whole idea started for me was like going to house parties, honestly. And you walk mm-hmm. into a house party and it's like you don't know anyone there, you don't know whose house you're at even. Like, are you gonna be that kid that just walks in and goes and sits in the corner? Because I promise you, you're not gonna make no friends. I promise you, you're not gonna get no one's attention. I promise you, people aren't gonna remember you. When you walk into the room, you have to be totally, like, unapologetic about being down with being embarrassed. Like, embarrassment is such a fucking, it's the enemy to like being yourself.
It is.
You know
is.
What I'm saying?
Yes.
And I just decided like I'm gonna put myself on the front line of being down to be embarrassed. And honestly, it doesn't backfire like that. Like you think it might, but when you walk up to someone that you never met and you're just like, yo, what's up, man? Like, I'm Mod, how you doing? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm good? How are you doing? You're like, best day of my fucking life, man.
Yeah.
Like, what?
If you wait for them to say it to you, that, a lot of times people never come up to you. You gotta just start the fire and get them going. Yeah,
and you know what? Maybe that person might be, like, weirded out. They might be. But I'm just telling you, like, 9 times out of 10, when I do something like that, or when I have my whole life, like, it doesn't turn into, like, this embarrassing thing. So, embarrassment also is a feeling that's felt before it even happens, which is really strange, and and it's something that you can overcome. So like I just said, you know, you think it's gonna embarrass you, and then you get up, you know, get up on stage in front of people and do your thing, and it goes fucking great, and it doesn't even happen like that. So the anxiety, all that shit, you just gotta let it go, be down and go on the front line and be embarrassed.
I'm guessing that's something that started when you were younger, and I know you moved around a lot when you were a kid, from like 5 to 10 years old.
Yeah.
You're with your mom, your sister too.
Yep.
What was it like being Derek the kid before you became Odd Son? Like, what was going through your head?
Outwardly to the world, I was totally opposite than the way I am now. Inside my mind, I was the same kid. I've always been in my own world. I was born on a farm, so I literally had no friends, and was inside my mind all day long, all fucking day long, just running around the farm, just having fun. I feel like I've never left that mind state. Like, I just have this imagination. And when you're younger, that imagination could be like pretending you're a spy and putting on like your mom's trench coat and climbing a tree and pretending you're like spying on people. Nowadays, for me, it's like turning on music and making music, and I like completely escape from reality. And I'm able to do that. And that goes hand in hand with like when I'm painting, when I'm writing, when I'm doing anything artistically, I escape from reality. And that's kind of like, That's the one thing that stuck with me from when I was a kid. Like I said, outwardly to the world, though, I was totally opposite. I was stubborn as hell. At a certain point in my life, around like when my mom and my sister finally relocated us to like a suburb out of the farms, mm-hmm. my mom was like, I need you to make friends, so I'm going to put you in sports. So sports did a lot for me, but they also fucked me up, because what sports turns into is it becomes like
so much competition.
It's just like you're competing against your own teammates. Yeah. I mean, it's fucking cutthroat crazy. Tennis and golf, like those are holy sports to me. It's one-on-one. It's like you win for yourself, you lose for yourself. There's no one to blame. I like that shit. And teammate shit is like, oh my God, you're trying to be the best on the team. Not only that, you're trying to impress the parents of the other kids on the team. You just want to be the best. You want to be the captain. They actually have captains. Yeah. They say right there in front of everyone who's the best on the fucking team.
You have to want to be the fucking best.
Get the fuck out of here. That's so whack. And like they put a fucking letter on someone, like it's the Scarlet Letter, like type
there's
shit.
There's a C on your fucking chest.
Like to say, this is the best one on the team. No, absolutely not. And it deterred me, and it made me a very stubborn person. It made me very competitive. It made me very frustrated when I did when I didn't perform well. Fucked me up, man. And I think it fucks a lot of kids up. So I was totally opposite, bro. I was like really like not the person I am today at all, and openly about that. Like I decided one day to completely change myself.
And going off of all the shit with sports, like I grew up, I was a baseball player my entire life, like played in college. I've always had that fucking competitive mindset. Like you have to be the best, and it's good, but it also fucks you up in some ways. And I had a lot of self-doubt and just issues being okay with wanting to succeed and be selfish. And you talk a lot about the word selfish and how it's not such a negative thing.
Yeah.
And like with competitiveness and sports and music, if you want to take care of others, you have to take care of yourself first and build that platform.
Yes.
So what has the selfishness turned inside of yourself that so many people take in a negative way? Like, and I don't. I think more people need to
absolutely
take care of themselves.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm aware of is like it is slightly in your face or hard to hear for certain people to be like, yo, I'm selfish, or be selfish, or act selfish. They're like, oh, like why? For me, it was like this, dude. It was like, I know that I want to help the world, right? I know that. I know that comes with that comes with picking up fucking trash off the ground. I mean, I just want to do good out here.
Shit,
I just want to do good out here. So like That being said, like, I can't do good for the world until I fix myself, until I help myself. And like I said, the day I decided to change my life, like, if I hadn't have done that and took it upon my own 2 feet to stand up and say, I'm going to be a different person. And like, anyone who's going to try to stop me from being a different person, I am going to be selfish and tell you that this is not your life. Like, I'm living my life. No matter what, I'm going to sleep at night alone in my head when I go off into those dreams. And like, this is my movie. And I feel very, very confident that at the end of my life, if I'm still alive even right now, at the end of my life, like, I'm going to watch a movie of my life. And like, that's going to be my final opus, like my last good thing. And at the same time, I think that those images you see of your life depend on, if you're a religious person, I think you determine at that moment whether you go to heaven or hell. I think that you watch your movie and you're like proud of yourself or you're not. And if you're not, you get put into a bad mind state and slip off into there. So like, I want my movie to be fucking brilliant, and I want it to be the best movie ever. And in my movie, I don't want to be watching someone else's movie. So I'm gonna be selfish and make sure that like my life is gonna be what I'm watching.
So going off of being selfish and taking that in a good way and just wanting to help the world, you also have to not be afraid to ask the world for what you want. And I was reading a little bit about your first round on Warped Tour as a solo act, as Mod Sun, because I know you were on Warped Tour too with a couple bands before. And you actually called up Kevin Lyman and told him your story.
Yep.
Said like, you know, give me a fucking shot.
Yep.
let me do my thing. Like, let me go on tour. Let me go on stage. Like, I'm fucking Mod. Like, I'm a man.
Yep.
And the next day he called you back and was like, yeah, fucking get ready. Like, you're going on tour this summer. Pack up your shit.
Yep.
And I think not enough people today think in terms of the bigger things of what they want. And they're too afraid to ask the world for what they want. The worst thing that happens is someone says no. And I think that if you're not asking people for what you want, if you're not willing to get shut down, then you're never going to achieve.
What it's the like fuck that you embarrassment thing. It's like that same thing. Like, if you're afraid to be told no, like, you can't expect for anyone to help you ever. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're afraid to be told no, no one's ever gonna be able to help you. You're gonna have to do this all on your own. Great, you can still do it. But like, if you want something, this is a great quote that I always go by. It's like, you can't expect people to act a certain way until you tell them. So that being said, like, grudges with friends, between friends and stuff like that, like, if it's this thing that happened and you don't say to them what you want, you don't say like, this is why I'm mad. You can't you can't hold a grudge. You can't be mad at them.
A grudge is all inside your head. Like, the other person doesn't know what's going through your head, and all they're seeing is the emotions.
And that goes the same way for like artists out here. For like me, for like a long time, there's like an artist out here that I've known very well for a long time. And like, this person, like, I've helped them out at the beginning of their career, and then they skyrocketed into like superstar. And they've never extended the hand to help me, like, on the terms that I did, like, type shit, like, take me on the motherfucking tour. Like, take me on the big old arena tour, motherfucker. You know I need the help. That being said, like, I expected that to happen because it was like a known thing. Like, you helped me out at the beginning, I'm gonna help you out. It wasn't maybe a known thing because I never necessarily told that person what I expected in return, type shit. And I'm not saying you do things in return. I'm just saying, if you have an idea of something, like, I did a solid here, I want help, or I want this, or I want that, like, you cannot expect to get that until you tell the person what you want. And like, you got to be, again, down to be like that person. Like, it sucks sometimes asking for favors.
It seems like a lot of artists have gotten their start with you, and you've, like you said, you extended the hand to bring them on tour. You have guys like Black Bear, Jeezy, Nash, all these guys that have gone on, they've shot on to superstardom, and
they all got plaques, baby. Shout out my boys, man. I'm proud of all motherfuckers. They're getting plaques.
And like, that's the attitude that I see that you have. You don't give a fuck if like other people in their minds might think like, oh, like, these dudes are passing Mod. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are... Like, what is he doing and shit like that? But I actually, you know, you've never went down. Like, you've been on a steady rise. Exactly. Other guys, like, they blow up when they're 20, 21, and then they're like a shooting star, and then they fucking flicker out.
There you go. I mean,
so, like, why wouldn't you want to be on stage when you're in your 30s, like, still fucking going up and still going up?
Yeah.
And,
like, I'm 30 years old, about to turn 30 fucking 1 years old, and I am now finally feeling, like, a feeling of an artist starting to, like, starting to, like, have kind of a miracle happening.
Hey guys, I wanted to interrupt this episode real quick to let you guys know that you can now support Augsoro with a donation on Patreon, PayPal, or Venmo. We're a completely independent platform with no outside sponsors or investors, and we're grateful for any amount, no matter how small, to help push the conversation forward. If you'd like to support, you can visit patreon.com/Augsoro. The link is in the podcast description as well. On Patreon, you get early access to episodes, discounts on merchandise, and other Patreon-exclusive content. Also, you can go check out our merch at augsoro.com/store. We have tees and hoodies for sale, so you can listen to the show in style. Now back to the episode.
You know what I'm saying? I think artists get a miracle in their life. And that's when, like, things change and shows start selling out and you're seeing new faces and people are hearing your songs that have never fucking seen your face. So, like, that's kind of happening for me right now. I'm 31. Like, I'm not late into my career. I'm far into my career. And and that's kind of my whole tone of everything right now is just like, yo, like, man, like, I always wanted longevity. And I was totally also fine with, like I live like I'm dead, low-key. Like, the art I make, to me,
living for your
is
legacy.
More important when I'm gone than it is here, plain and simple. Whether it gets celebrated while I'm here, I came to terms with it years ago, like, after being on tour for fucking half my life and not selling out shows. Yeah. Like, still playing shows last year, guys, to, like, fucking 10, 20 people sometimes. I'm not kidding. It happened. I mean, I did a Europe tour last year.
Which is how many people are going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Fuck that. No, we going viral.
The five people listen to it right now, like,
we going viral, baby. Shit, yeah. Real shit, though. Like, I did a Europe tour, like, a year and a half ago and played to, like, 3 or 4 people every night. And, like, this is, like, one of those situations where it's just like, wow, man, they put in all this work. Like, am I, you ask yourself, like, am I fucking popping? And it's
to
like
to those 3 or 4 people, you
facts,
are like to,
facts,
they,
facts.
They're seeing you like through their facts. Eyes. They're probably like, "Holy shit! Like, this facts. Is the best fucking night of my life."
Yeah,
like,
and so like
I have Mod
so,
looking into my eyes,
yeah,
and performing and, for me. Like, there's 4 people right now, and I'm getting a fucking
And that feeling was always like cool, but doing that for a long time and being like, you might question yourself at a certain point, like, am I doing the right thing? Like, is this what I'm meant to do? Like, if I'm playing in front of 4 people still, like, is this a sign saying, like, dog, like, try something else? And, like, what I'm getting around to saying is that, like, I came to terms with myself, like, already that, like, I know this is what I'm meant to do. I know I'm supposed to be doing this. When I get on the stage, it's a holy place for me, and, like, that's it. That's what I do. So now that things are starting to pick up, like, it's a very gratifying feeling being, like, this stuff that's happening now doesn't make me feel like I'm popping. Like the 20-year-old artist that gets sold out shows and starts making mad money and has videos with millions of plays and all that shit, they're gonna be affected by that shit. They're gonna be like, oh my god, like, I'm fucking popping. I'm just like magical. Yeah. And then what that does is deters a lot of your art and a lot of your struggle that creates greatness. That's why people fizzle off, is because they start to see what people like of them and they
and
just
they start
zoom
to tap
in on
their
it.
Creative process.
They just
to the
zoom
blow up. Yeah,
right
yeah,
in
yeah,
on that because they're like, oh, well, this is what they like of me. So, like, why wouldn't I give them what they like? And, like, me, my favorite artist of all time is Bob Dylan. He has tried every genre of music, legitimately. He spent 10 years doing gospel music that no one listened to. Like, I'm serious. Like, the dude has done it all. And he was always one step ahead of people. When he played, like, Rolling Stone for the first year, he got booed off stage. It's now regarded as one of the best songs, top 5 best songs of all time. Like, that's the feeling I've always gone for, is, like, I don't want to be perfect. I like making mistakes. I like being a step ahead. I like doing things that I shouldn't necessarily do. And
you have to.
Yeah.
You have to just take a chance and see what the fuck happens.
Yeah.
So I wanna switch gears a little bit. You said before the words, "If I'm even alive."
Yeah.
And I've actually been going through an internal, whatever you want to call it, an analysis of consciousness and reality. And what is this like reality to you? Is this kind of like a hallucination? And like when you go to sleep, that's like a different reality. Like how do you perceive reality?
Okay, because what it really is, it's actually a constant fucking battle. Because my book, Did I Ever Wake Up, that's what it's about. I am not 100% convinced that I got out of a bed one day due to something I did. And I don't know if I got out of bed that day because I went to another world. And I got all the answers I was looking for. I got all the secrets I was asking for, everything. And I came to, and my whole life changed since then. Like, that was the day I changed my life. That's what I was talking about. Like, I was in a rock band that day. When I came back to, I quit that fucking band I was in and started doing Mod Sun that second. And since then, like, I've always wanted my life to just to manifest into what I wanted. And it's always taken, like, time. But ever since that day, dude, my life has just completely felt like a fucking dream. Like, I'm totally charged.
I was literally having the same conversation the other day. Matt was actually there. My brother's sitting right next to me. Shout out to Matt.
Shout out Matt, man. He on the boards, baby. Yeah, making himself crispy. He sees me.
But yeah, so we were talking about dreams versus being awake. And if your dreams are any less valid of an experience just because you're sleeping versus the reality that we all perceive when we're awake. Because when you're dreaming, you feel emotions, like you feel shit. Like shit happens in your dream, and when you wake up, you feel like whatever you just saw, like that shit just happened. Like I just watched someone get shot, or like I had a friend pass away, and like you wake up completely in that emotion. Like is a dream any less valid of an experience than reality? And same thing with drugs, like same thing with psychedelics, smoking. Like a lot of people say, you know, like that chalk up an existential life altering experience on drugs, and like
as the difference between a vision and a hallucination is other people can see a vision. It doesn't make a hallucination less valid.
No.
Period. That being said, like my idea with dreams is I've always looked at it like when I was younger, I always looked at it like every time I lay onto the bed like that and fall asleep, like as soon as I fall asleep, the person right here gets up. And it's like, I don't know which one is life, but I can tell you where I'm at now is that I haven't had dreams for like years and years and years. And just recently for like the last like 4 months now, I've been having dreams, but they're all nightmares. And I think it's kind of endearing because it's like I don't have a fantasy world that I'm not living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like my fantasy world is like completely right here. And that's what makes me believe that, like, dude, I really don't know if I'm dead or not. I really don't. And like I don't have dreams. And I lately all I have is nightmares, because it's like the other world that exists outside this thing right here, like, is kind of like a like scary to me, because like this is the only thing that I can like kind of rely on, is like my playground. When I go into like my dreams or something, like I literally am like engulfed in like I think reality is in my dreams. And that's like scary, because I fucking hate reality. I can't stand it. Like I got as far away from my reality as I can. And so I think that the question will forever be how do you fucking even know if you just woke up this morning? If you're still, I mean, how can you even scientifically even be like, oh, this feels more real than my dream? Or like,
and when you're in all your, of a sudden, you're in your dream, it doesn't. And then when you're in reality, your dream like, sometimes
we've all
real,
known so. That we've had a dream that felt so fucking real, like exactly this real, like this exact.
Like this could be
real.
A dream right now. We're
yes,
dream casting.
Yes, because dreams don't have like this, like you know, this feeling of like being in a dream and all that. Like, okay, Waking Life is one of my favorite movies ever. My entire life. I don't know if you ever watched it.
I haven't.
It's all about lucid dreaming. You have?
I haven't.
Oh my god.
Waking Life.
Richard Linklater or whatever did it.
I need to go check it out.
It's fucking phenomenal, bro. It's all about the idea that when you die, there's 10 seconds of brain activity going on. After all the oxygen, everything leaves your body, there's 10, I think it's 10, it's either 10 seconds or 10 minutes. I'm sorry. For lack of better terms, I'm still here. I'm telling you the story.
But you're dead regardless.
In that time, yeah, you're dead. And in that time, if you've taught yourself how to lucid dream, you can now live an entire life.
Within that period of time.
Yes, because we've all had a dream where we fell asleep for 5 minutes and it felt like hours. And so...
Or even just how like adding a simple drug into the equation, like smoking or tripping out, like just changes an entire perception of time. Like your reality, your biological existence can be completely fucked up by just adding, you know, a simple drug into your system. And the things that you experience during that period of time, I don't think are any less valid because you're still experiencing, even if it's through a different lens, and then you're coming back to a different reality, not the only reality. Yeah. It's just a sober reality. Yeah. Speaking.
My outlook on drugs is like I've never done pills or needles. Never done that shit. Never will. It's not my gig. Never could do that.
Needles freak.
I've toyed around with all the hallucinogens, all that shit. My idea on that stuff is like it's fucking, again, it's like it can be the coolest thing, it can be the scariest thing ever. And at the same time, like, those drugs are awesome when you're on them, and when you're mm-hmm. off of them, it fucking can freak you out because mm-hmm. it's like, damn, it's like everything I was just feeling not real. Like,
yeah,
was all the good I was just feeling, like, why does it go away? Like, why does this, like, enlightened feeling of, like, I got it all figured out, and then I wake up the next morning, I forget what I was, like, feeling. Like, why is that a real thing? So I think that, like, for me, I think that, like, William Blake said, I believe in a long deranged sense, like, an experience of long deranged senses. So spending a day doing drugs, I think, is not the ticket. Mm-hmm. I think spending like a week doing drugs.
Just getting in the right mindset. Yeah, if you're going to do something, you got to commit to it. Yeah.
It's like, yo, like, you got to, like, to get the sweetness from something like that, you have to walk through the fire, low-key. Mm-hmm. And if you just go into it and have a great time and do drugs and have a great time, when you come out of it, it can be very scary. If you go into it and do drugs and it's like a deranged sense mm-hmm. of like good and scary and evil and great and euphoric, and also
it's all about the mindset going.
Yes,
into
it's like the battle. If you can like beat the drug, I think that it'll do something mm-hmm. for you. And that's the only way that like I like to advise it, because I don't like to tell people to do things. I like to do whatever I want to do. I don't like to be told what to do, so I don't like to tell people what to do. But like, if I do have any kind of input on that, having songs about that stuff, writing about that stuff, it's like, yeah, like I believe in a long deranged sense.
So speaking of psychedelic experiences,
yeah,
I came across a story with you and MGK. Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear this one because there's like fucking goddamn eight now.
Yeah. Point. So I'll give you the version that I heard. I think you actually, this might be coming from you. I think I saw it on another interview.
Yeah.
You guys were out in the desert. It was pitch black after some suits came to visit on set of or general admission. You're doing some creative directing for the cover art.
Yep.
And you guys are out in the pitch black desert. And were you on acid or DMT? Something trippy.
It was LSD also like fucking some other shit.
And you guys are out there by yourself, and all of a sudden he throws a knife up into the air.
He's obsessed with knives.
Yeah, he's obsessed with knives.
He's obsessed with fucking knives and throwing knives.
Ready at all times.
And Rook, his drummer, is the drummer who's throwing his sticks up in mm-hmm. the air all the time. So he's obsessed with knives. So both of them just sit around and push each other more and more.
It's a bad combination. Just fueling the
and
fire.
And like, legitimately, we get out into the middle of the desert and we're on drugs. And like, Kels looks at me and he's like, Mod, he's like, when you do drugs, you get happy. He's like, when I do drugs, I get dark. And he fucking takes the knife, throws it up in the air, grabs my face like this for like a solid 5 seconds. And I'm like, bro, bro, bro. I like literally like get away and it like falls like right here into the ground. And I'm just like, oh my God, bro. I'm like, I don't want to fucking hang out anymore. I was like, I'm done. I'm done. That and I just start running, bro. And like the scariest shit is like we're in Joshua Tree and it was like pitch black. Yeah. So like there's no trails where we are. I'm mm-hmm. like running as fast as I can through like bushes and all this shit.
And you and, also
like,
got bit by a rattlesnake before
yes,
that.
Yes.
Like a different
scenario.
In
my head, yeah. I'm already like, fuck. Great, here we go. Like, I'm about to fall in a hole.
Nice.
I'm gonna get
rattlesnake,
rattlesnake.
Combo, yeah.
Like, some fucking antelope is gonna come out and tackle me. Like, it was just. I have like many crazy moments with Kels because, one of my favorite movies is Almost Famous. Like, mm-hmm. and like the whole idea of like real. I hate this fucking term now, rock stars and all that shit. I like to say superstar now, if anything, but like.
If you are.
Like, yeah, it's facts, facts. But like, we really believe in like. Being wild spirits and not being fragile.
Well, you said one of the best things that you love about MGK is that he says whatever the fuck is on his mind, no matter who it is, no matter what you're talking about. Like,
and that,
he'll
that,
keep it real with you 24/7.
That comes with with his fans too. Like if his fans,
like, he's
walk
like
up
told
to
people
him,
to fuck off, like 100%. Get a fucking camera out of my face,
yes.
like talk to me like a human being. Like, goes
so
back to saying
times.
Hello, like fucking
so
say hello
times.
To me, like
so
don't
many
just
times.
Stick a camera
and like,
in my face. Yeah.
And like, I've learned so much from him because of that attitude. Because it's like that again is very endearing to me that someone's like just so not trying to be politically correct because that shit's like ugly, bro. Yeah. Especially if you like really want to be. Remembered, like me and him are about history and like actually like doing something that lives, you know.
Yeah.
And like Kels gets like mad bummed about like the industry not showing him the love he deserves.
Yeah,
because like,
he had bangers on his
and
last
it's
album,
facts,
and he doesn't
facts.
Get any radio play.
He deserves to be.
That album was a masterpiece, General
yeah,
Mission.
Yeah, and like yo, he works really hard, and you know now he's. Working in the acting industry and like they're accepting him like fuck and it's like yo, he's put his whole life into this music shit and y'all still want to snub him, but like he can jump over to like a whole new fucking facet and they're like celebrating him. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So like, you know, I try to just remind him too that like what I like to say to my close friends that I really feel they're doing something special, like my girl and someone like Kels and shit like that, is like people like me, like I can't expect everyone or even like hardly anyone to walk into any art gallery in the world and pick out the masterpiece on the wall. Like I can, okay? I know that I'm working to be the masterpiece on the wall. Mm-hmm. And I can't expect my neighbors to just walk into the gallery and see a masterpiece, you know? They're going to pick the fucking art that looks nice on their fucking wall with their little IKEA set and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about masterpieces here. And if I can't trust the world to see a masterpiece in an art gallery, how can I expect them to understand what I'm doing?
And right? That goes back to not only seeing art, but hearing it. Because you've worked with all these younger artists. You brought them on tour. They've blown up. And obviously you have an ear for what will eventually become a masterpiece.
Definitely.
Even if at the time
it
isn't.
I have Schoolboy Q's first feature he's ever done for someone on one of my songs. Like, before Schoolboy Q even had an album out, I had him on my shit. So, like, I do have an ear for what it is. And, like, again, I can see a masterpiece. And I can see that. And I'm very, very happy for a lot of these people. I'm happy for everyone, for sure, that I've had anything to do with. And I'm almost happy for everyone in the industry that's getting theirs. But, like, I feel a sense of graciousness though, because like I'm not meant to be this like here today, gone tomorrow plastic little bullshit that sounds good for a couple years. Like, I'm meant to literally make sure that my last album sounds better than it does now in 10 years from now. It sounds better, and then 20 years it sounds better than that, and then when I'm dead it sounds fucking like something you never
if
heard
Kels
before.
If Kels doesn't kill you first.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
I have to ask, are there any stories with Kels that are not out in the open yet? And it could be with someone else too. Any fucked up shit, any deranged experiences, any dark, ominous tones.
I'll tell a little Aaron story.
Yeah, I actually.
Because nowadays, bro, just to be totally honest, like, I got people telling me I gotta not use too many people's names all the time anymore. Because I'm blowing up their spot. That little Aaron, he loves it. He's my little brother. Aaron. Yeah. Me and little Aaron, we were on tour with Black Bear like 6 or 8 months ago.
Dude, me and my brother saw you at Irving Plaza with Black Bear. Little Aaron.
We smashed that show.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking incredible.
So me and little Aaron were sharing a bus on that tour, so we like became like closer than ever, obviously, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And like this one night, he was already gone from the venue. So like the show just ended. I was like, where's Aaron? And everyone's like, oh, check your phone. He's like blowing you up. And he's like, yo, come to this bar now, like 30 texts. And he sends me the address. He's like, no, I got you an Uber. This is how bad he needed me to come. That he like gets me an Uber, pulls up. I get him. It takes me to this little shack. And I walk in. I can hear, as I get out of the Uber, I can hear what I think is maybe little Aaron's voice singing. And I walk in and he is fucking wasted in front of like 30 old, like 50-year-old, like wasted motherfuckers. And he's singing Jesse McCartney. Oh my God.
What was it? Is it Beautiful Soul?
Yes. Beautiful Soul. Yep. Which is apparently his go-to karaoke song. So anyways, I walk into that. It's literally how I open up the door to see. And I had just got like a shitload of acid. And so we walked out the bar after we got wasted clothes. We walked out the bar and there's like this bridge. And so we went over and sat by this bridge. And I have this like Charles Bukowski book. And Aaron's mom is an English teacher. And she always used to read to him. So like on tour, I would always read to Aaron.
So I'm like reading to his mom. Like I can't fall asleep unless mom reads to me. And I got to have someone tuck me
facts,
in.
Bro. So I'm reading of Charles Bukowski poetry. We're both high as fuck. And we end up like going under the bridge. And we're so hot, bro. We're going crazy. It was like 4 hours. We're under this bridge, like walking around. We end up jumping in the little stream and like swimming down this stream. It was so beautiful. It was like right as the sun was coming up. It looked like fucking Jumanji. It was insane. And like, this is the first time Aaron ever tripped.
This is the first time Aaron ever tripped. Okay.
And so like everything is perfect. Everything is awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. The only thing that sucked is like we're like soaking wet and we're like kind of realizing that we're just kind of in a swamp. We're pretty nasty now.
But the sun's coming up.
We get out and I'm still trying to like lead this shit and be like, no, it's all right. We good. Best night of your life, bro. We get out and I'm like, all right, let's just like, we're going to get out of the stream. Cause now it's like 8:30. Mm-hmm. Like the world is alive now. This is when you want to be done. This is when it's time to be done and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's get out. Let's just get out right here. We'll call an Uber. It'll pull right up. And we get out, and I go under this fence, and we walk in. All of a sudden, I'm like, yo, this doesn't look right. And find out we fucking just broke into a state national park. And, like, there's people, like, in the distance, like, looking over at us, like, what? Like, working, like, setting up a national park that's clearly not open to the public yet. It's, like setting up a carnival that's going to come.
This is, like, before people are walking
in. Yeah. No, this is, like, before the carnival's even, like, set up. Like, this is for, like, weeks in advance. And, like, we're broke in. And so they start chasing us, bro. And we run. And I'm thinking that there's, like, this opening in this fence. And we get there, and there's literally no opening. So, like, there's this barbed wire fence. And I'm literally like, Aaron, we have to do it. And we fucking start climbing this fence. We get over. We rip our shit to shreds.
Oh, shit.
We jump back into the fucking swamp, swim back up it, because the thing that we did was we jumped in a swamp that took you into the fucking park. So like we started swimming back the next way. We get out, it's like 9:30 now. The first Uber that pulls up, and I'm like still like, Aaron, it's all good. At this point he's kind of freaked out. Like he's like, dude, he's get like, me home. What the fuck? And like I'm like, it's all
Charles
good.
Bukowski, I don't want to be here anymore.
Facts. So like, yo, so the first Uber rolls up. It pulls up across the street, looks over at us. We start walking to it. Literally bones out. And at that point, I was like, oh shit, we might be fucked. Because we were like, I had remembered at that point that Aaron had got me an Uber that made us like really far from the fucking venue. So like, bro, we went through like four Ubers like that. Aaron was so freaked out, bro. It was like the worst. We were soaking wet. And then we finally got it and we made it back home and it was all good. Yeah.
And it all started out with a cover of Jesse McCartney,
Facts.
Beautiful Soul. That song fucks people up.
It does. It does. You can't trust that song.
You can't trust Jesse McCartney. Never. I don't think he made that song 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever the fuck it was, and thought it would be the start of a crazy night.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Shout out Jesse McCartney.
Yeah, shout out Jesse McCartney. So the tour you're on right now for Baby, how did the whole album process kind of start? Because I know you released Happy Baby first and things kind of got started rolling from there. Were you planning on releasing an album? Did you kind of start the whole creative process once Happy Baby kind of blew up?
And so like, yo, this is exactly how it happened, is that me and Bella became really good friends like long Bella before Thorne. We were dating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Long before we were dating. And I had made that song Happy Baby because I was about to take a flight to Minnesota and I had like an hour and I was just like, fuck it, I haven't made anything in a while. Let me just turn this shit off. And I was just trying to make something really quick and I made it and got on the plane, went to Minnesota, and my homie had a camera, Brandon. Shout out Brandon. He had a camera and he was like, you got any like tracks right now? Let's just shoot something. I was like, all right, fuck it. And I had Happy Baby, so shot like a 20-minute video for it. And he edited it, sent it to me, boom, came back. And I showed Bella. I was like, yo, like, check this shit out. And she's like, yo. She's like, this is fucking amazing. She's like, you got to drop this right now.
The song's popping.
Yeah. She's like, you got to drop this right now. The video, like, I already had the video and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, word? I was like, okay. And
did
literally
she direct
the
that
next
too?
Day,
or did she another one?
No, she didn't direct that. She did. So, like, anyway, she told me, she was like, I love this. You got to drop it. So the next day, and I never do this type of shit. I never just drop something out of nowhere. It's never been my style before, even though I've wanted to. I was just like, okay. Like, I really respect Bella's opinion. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And I dropped it and it came out and it just like took off and did awesome. So that being said, I was like, all right, like I should probably drop a project. And I just basically just sat for like 30 days and made like as many songs as I could, as fast as I could. Like I'd make the beat in like 30 minutes to an hour, turn on the mic, go, rap the shit, sing my ass off, edit it up, boom, 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 and then be done and not want to go back. And I took all like the songs. I would make like 20 songs a week, literally. It's like how I roll. And I would send all of them to her. And she'd be like, this one, this one. Facts. And like so because
and this was all when you guys were friends. This
yeah.
Is, and yep, so you trusted yep. her that much
the,
before.
Yeah, dude. I mean, dude, the day me and Bella met, we talked for like 12 hours and then ran through the fountain of the Plaza Hotel in New York City. Like
shout out Plaza.
Like
Hotel.
I was just like, yo, like, oh yeah, we're in New York City. Oh my god. Hey, are we staying in town tonight?
No, we're leaving actually. We're
trying to go. Fuck, I wanna stay at the Plaza. No, we're gonna do that. We're staying at the Plaza.
If a Plaza's listening right now, I'll leave a room open.
Yo, facts. And like, yo, yeah, I just had like this insane connection with her of like someone that I felt like I was like the same as, and it never has happened before in that like area, and so I just like trusted on that shit and was just like, fuck it, like drop the shit, see what happens. And and I made all the music on it too, so like I think that kind of encapsulates why maybe this music is doing better now than any of the preceding stuff, you know.
So speaking of hotel,
yeah,
what the fuck is hotel motel? Because I just came across this the other day. I had no idea
hotel,
you and Black
motel
Bear dropped
this
shit and like.
Well, look, here's
I didn't
the
see
facts.
Anything.
Here's
then I listened to the entire
the
thing
facts.
And I'm like, oh my god!
Here's
like,
the real facts. Hotel motel is my band. Black Bear has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. He was around when I was making it and was like, yo, like I love this shit.
Let me have
like. On. Like, yeah, like I wrote all the music. He played bass on a few tracks. I wrote all the words on everything that he would re-sing over, except for a few parts. That being said, I was down to do it as a band and type shit, but then he started doing that Mansions and shit, and I was just like, nah. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to be, like, part of, like, some side project scheme. Like, I'm fucking Hotel I'm Motel. I came from rock bands and that type of shit. So the whole story with that is I've had guitars around me. But I've had guitars around me my whole life. Guitar was my first instrument, and I could never play guitar, and I had it around me my whole life. The same day that Kells almost killed me in Joshua Tree, I also that afternoon roamed out into Joshua Tree on drugs with a guitar and found what I considered to be called Desolation Row and walked down it, and I was just like so fucked up and saying like chanting shit. Like, was like, dude, I swear to God, I passed out and woke up, and I could fucking
with Kells' guitar
because he had one on set, mm-hmm. and I actually broke it, and it was a guitar given to him by the singer Green Day. Actually broke it while I was on
Billy
this
Joe.
Yeah,
sorry, Billy Joe.
Yeah,
Kells broke a guitar.
No, I broke it.
Send him another one. Send Kells another one. My broken guitar.
Anyways, I like passed out and I woke up, bro, and I swear to you, not I could play guitar. A spirit jumped inside me. I know it. Like a spirit jumped inside me.
And all of a sudden, I could play guitar.
As I'm walking back to the campsite and shit, like I'm writing a song and I'm like playing guitar and I'm like, holy shit. And I'll never forget the lyrics were like, so I'll chase the sun until it goes down. So I'll chase the sun as far as I can because it won't be long until we both go down. And I was like writing this fucking crazy ass song, and I got back and I went back to my house and my studio the next day, and I sat in there for like a month and a half, just all of a sudden could play guitar. Like, just a spirit inside of me, bro. And I wrote all those songs. And on top of the songs that are out that Hotel Motel's released, there are like fucking like 50 other ones from that time period that are amazing. And then one day, the spirit left. And I can't
play guitar anymore?
Nope. Nope.
If I put a guitar in your hands right
now, I could do stuff.
But the spirit's gone.
Like, I was writing dope music, not understanding what was going on. I understood guitar, and now I don't understand guitar. It's a weird
thing.
That
makes sense.
But the spirit, like I recognized it. I knew it was with me. Like, I saw a spirit last night, actually. Dead ass.
What was he doing? Or she?
It was in the hotel room.
Just chilling.
It just like opened up the door and walked in, and I like looked up like this, and I was like, looked over at both of y'all, and y'all were chilling. And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh word, yep, you. I said it out loud. I was like, you're in here. Facts, but some, I mean, I'm not scared of it. Like, I know there's a spirit.
You would invite the spirit,
there's a spirit
back.
That follows there's a time and place, but it doesn't show itself always. Mm-hmm. Like it does. So when it does, I am happy to see it. But I know there's a spirit that follows me, and sometimes it helps me out, and sometimes it looks out for me, and sometimes it's just like wanting to witness what I'm doing.
So, to wrap up, I know you're huge on speaking things into existence.
Yes.
Is that the spirit talking, or is that?
Yes, I am here with you. I am here.
I'm coming for Lil Wayne.
Watch out.
So yeah, speaking things into existence, letting people know what the fuck's going on in your head and saying, I'm not afraid of what you think. Like, that shit's going to fucking happen. Whether you think I'm a joke or not, like, that shit is going to happen one day.
Yeah.
And to end off this podcast,
read that.
Is there anything for this upcoming year that you have not said yet to yourself or to anyone else that you would like to speak into existence? Could be something small, could be something big you have planned, but something that you want people to know is going to happen regardless of what the fuck you think.
You know what? It's like this, dude. It's like, for the first time ever, I think that, like, the one thing, like, working for me right now is that I'm allowing people to see, like, someone be, like, unapologetic and not trying to live some fucking lifestyle, some brand, some bullshit like that. And I think that all of the speaking things into existence for me has led up to this moment right here where I kind of let myself be a channel at this point. And that being said, like, like I'm kind of clearing my mind of having specific goals right now, because I think my biggest goal is to like show the world a real ass human being, like a real ass creative, a real ass artist, a real ass crazy motherfucker,
like everything, like art, fashion,
a real person out here, like going fucking crazy. Like crazy is my best personality trait, and the word crazy was made up by ordinary people to explain the extraordinary. I want that to be known. Like that's facts. Crazy is great. And so I'm my biggest goal is like I'm just asking the universe to like really at this point like allow me to totally 100% be me and honest with everything, and not try to have necessarily like this message or this manifesto of like how to get through this point. Now I think that all of the things I've done have led me to right here, and that this is like a new chapter of me being like, okay, like maybe why it's starting to work right now more than ever is because people are seeing a side of me that is actually somewhat attractive on the outside. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking attractive like pretty, even though I am. I'm talking like
pretty boy
attractive to like to like look into the life of. And I think that all the things I've done are going to be very, very fun to look at when you find out about who I am and look into like the history of what I've done and shit like that, and not have everything just be right on a platter for you. So like I think that maybe what's looking good to people now more than ever is the fact that like they're just seeing someone that that doesn't necessarily look like they belong here. You know what I'm saying?
And just kind of carving your own path regardless.
Yeah, just letting them be able to open up the book and not trying to be like, not trying to like force them to like look at it, but be like, there's this little like, maybe like a miracle thing that I'm trying to talk about, which is that like I'm trying to make really, really high art, but I want the whole world to see it. So like the conundrum is like, how do you fucking turn your art into something that everyone wants to go and learn about, not see initially and be like, wow, amazing, but be like, why do I want to look into this person's life? And why do I want to open up the book?
So yeah, I don't like want to talk to Mod and learn about his life and share with people on the podcast, because I saw your music, your visuals, and was like, yo, I need to fucking learn about this person. Like, what the fuck goes through this person's head?
Man, well,
and
thank
how
you.
Does he put it into the world?
I appreciate this conversation. We had a good ass conversation. Yeah. What's up, girl?
Yeah. But before you bring that to the world, people are gonna fucking learn here tonight in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You're gonna blow it the fuck out in the bazaar.
You fit to feel me, baby. We gonna party tonight, motherfucker. Hey.
Let people know where they can follow you at and all that.
Yo, MODSUN stands for Movement on Dream, Stand Under None. I'd love to be your new best friend. Just Google me. You'll find fucking tabs and tabs and tabs of acid. No, I'm just playing. You'll find tabs of information and shit. But like, look it up, man. I really would like to. I would like to meet you this year if you haven't met me yet. And like, check it out. I write books, I make art, I make music, and I just want to fucking have a good time, man. So I'd love to be a new friend. MODSUN and great podcast, by the way, bro.
I appreciate
awesome ass fucking questions.
I appreciate
man.
That.
You
that
got
means
a good. Hey, you got a little. You got the gift of gab, baby. You got
I
a good talk,
it.
Jack. You got good talk. You feel the feeling. We gonna give him something to talk about tonight. Hey, it's your new best friend, my son.
You heard
we
it
out
here.
This motherfucker.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Auxoro. If you haven't already, please hit us with a 5-star rating and comment on Apple Podcast. This helps us appear higher in searches, which means more people will find out about Auxoro. Other ways to help get the word out is telling a friend, tagging us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, writing a blog post, or supporting us with a donation on Patreon. We are a completely independent platform, and we're grateful for every listener who supports this podcast. Thanks for coming along for the ride, and I'll see you guys next time.